Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are here. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts through your word. I thank you that your Spirit comforts those who are hurting. I thank you that you know what's going on in each and every person's life today. Lord, many people have come with aches and pains and heartache, Lord. I pray that you would especially comfort Steve and his family in the loss of his dear wife. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that shows us your word, that guides us, that convicts us, and encourages us. And I pray that each person would sense your love for them today and also know what you want them to do in their next step in their walk with Jesus. And it's in Jesus' powerful name that we pray. Amen. Well, I am really excited because I don't get to preach very often, and I got the best of the seven churches. I got Philadelphia. Okay, Philadelphia is the church. Just like Smyrna, Pastor did mention that Smyrna didn't have anything negative said about them. But Philadelphia is one of those churches that, you know, Jesus was talking to the seven churches, and most of them, he said, you're doing good in this, but you're not doing good in this. Okay? I don't know, but I think the business people got this principle from the Bible. You know, you say one positive thing, and then you say one negative thing. And so this church, though, got all positive. They got an A on their exam. So let's look at what they were doing right so that we can imitate that and we can get an A also. All right? I'm a teacher, right? So trying to talk on your terms, okay? Maybe you've been out of school a long time, but you can probably remember what it used to be like to get an A, or maybe you never got one and you say, I'd love to get an A. Okay, so we're talking to all of you, okay? As we look at this passage, we've read the scriptures, but we're going to be looking at and find three principles that this church did right that we can copy, okay? It's okay to copy when it's good like this. So I want to tell you about, we're talking about overcoming, and I want to tell you about a Christian man that I know. I don't know him personally, but I know of him. Person that grew up in my hometown, Toledo, Ohio, and he was an amazing athlete. He still is, actually. His name is Scott Hamilton. Some of you might know who he is. He's 60 years old right now, so some of you might say, wow, he's old, and some of you might say he's a whippersnapper. He's just getting started. But he was an Olympic skater, and he was just a really hard worker. One of the things that he learned how to do that nobody else could do, or almost nobody, was a backflip on skates. And they actually, in the amateur realm, they outlawed it, but he can still do it in the professional. He won 16 world championships and even won a gold medal. In spite of all that, okay, this athleticism, he has fought many different challenges in his life. One of the things was he got cancer, brain cancer, and he ended up getting that taken care of. And then about 10 years down the road, he got cancer again. And then he treated that. Then he had cancer in a different part of his body, and beat that, and now, currently, for the third time, his brain cancer has come back. I want to tell you what he told the Christian Post. I'm going to read it so I don't mess it up. I understand that through a strong relationship with Jesus, you can endure anything. God is there to guide you through the tough spots. God is there every single time. Every single time. He repeated that. Scott is not a quitter. He's an overcomer. And that's what this passage is about. It's how to be an overcomer in the Christian realm. You know, Hans had talked about sin. God has given us the victory so that we can overcome sin, because Jesus overcame it first, and he overcomes it now through us. And so we're going to look at this passage to see what we can learn. And you have your outline in your bulletin. It doesn't have a lot of details. I'm going to give you the rest of the details. If you want to take notes, you can, or you can just sit and listen and learn. The very first principle, or the first praise that Jesus gave them, is that they kept God's word. And so they got an A. So for us to get an A, we need to keep God's word. Does that mean that we need to, kind of like the Old Testament, we think about, okay, we need to obey every command and do everything? That's really not, they didn't fully understand it back then. But through Christ, we have a relationship with God, but we need to go through Jesus. The first principle is that Jesus is the gatekeeper. Look at verse 7. Keep God's word as the principle. Jesus is the gatekeeper is the subpoint. It says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true. Okay, that's Jesus, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. Many of you have heard of John 14:6, where Jesus says this. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so Jesus has declared that he is the only way, and we need to come to him. We need to start our relationship with him if we haven't started, and we need to continue on our relationship with him if we have already started our relationship. You can talk about all kinds of other religions, and if you accept one of those, you're saying Jesus is a liar, because he says, I am the way, I'm the only way to come to God. It's beautiful. John 10, verse 7 and 9 says this about Jesus. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. He repeats himself in verse 9. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. He's implying not only will they get in, they will be part of God's family, they will be part of the flock, they will be cared for, and they will find pasture. God will meet their needs. As one of the songs we sang, God will be with us, because the word Emmanuel, Jesus, is God with us. So what kind of problems did the early church, the Philadelphia church, have? They just had one problem, and it wasn't even a sin. God was not criticizing them, but he said this. He said, they had little strength. Okay? Little strength is not a rebuke. Little strength is, okay, I'm just stating a fact. Let's strengthen that up. Let's grab on to what has been given us in Christ. Think about some other people who were strong in the faith, that they were apostles. One person I thought of that had little strength was Peter. Peter was in the boat, and with all the other disciples, you know, the 12 that Jesus had called, and he said this, if it's really you, Jesus was walking on the water, then tell me to come out to you. And Jesus said, okay, come out. So Peter stepped out on the water. And, you know, you might have a lot of criticism for Peter, but he's the only one that got out. He's the only one that stepped out onto the water, and it held. And he was looking at Jesus, and it held, and he started to walk a little bit to Jesus, and then what happened? He looked at the water. He went looking at the problem instead of looking at Jesus, and he started to sink. And I think he prayed the fastest prayer that's ever been prayed. Help me. Right? And what happened? Jesus reached out his hand and pulled him up. Folks, you and I can pray short prayers. You need help? You can pray, help me, right when you're in that situation. Jesus is closer to you than a brother. We need to walk our whole life in short prayers to God. We go through some hard things. As I look out among you, I know some of the situations that you're going through, and it's not easy. God wants to walk with you. He is with you, but sometimes we forget that. We think we got to do it on our own. We got to be strong. We got to be that stoic Minnesotan. Okay, I can say that because my parents are both Minnesotans and their parents, and I was raised by them, so I understand. All right, he says this in verse 8. He says, I know your deeds. See, I placed before you an open door that no one could shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Just want to repeat, that was not a rebuke. That was just stating a fact. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, we talked about the Apostle Paul. Now here's the Apostle Peter, and he says this. He says, when I am weak, then I am strong. We've sung that song based on that verse many times, but it's so true. When you think you can do it, God says, okay, I'll let you do it on your own, right? But when we say, Lord, I need your help, that's when we're strongest, because that's when the power of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus living in us, kicks in. When you think you can do it, it's almost like God said, okay, let me watch you. Let me see how you do. He wants us to be dependent on him. The second part, the last part of this first section about really keeping God's word is obedience is important. I just want to repeat that phrase, the two phrases, I know your deeds, and then at the end it says, almost to the end, you have kept my word. You see, when we are saved from the consequence of sin. We accept Jesus' payment, and he has paid for that. But he doesn't want us to continue in that sin. Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul said, and he asked the question, well, if grace abounds because of sin, should I sin more? And Paul says, heaven forbid. No way. You should not, absolutely not. And I was going to give you a few phrases in Brazilian Portuguese, but you don't understand that anyway, so we'll go on. It is unbelievable that Christians think that they can just continue in their sin because they're forgiven. I wonder if you can keep in your sin if you were really saved in the first place. Because when the Holy Spirit in you is grieved because of your sin, he's going to make you feel miserable when you're sinning. Because he wants you to turn around. He's not making you miserable because he likes to, but because it is a motivation for you to get back in line. Because when you are walking in the Spirit, then you'll be producing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, self-control. You will be walking that way, and you will be blessing people with your lives. When you're in sin, what will you be doing? Not only have you cut yourself off from the fellowship of God, but you're not producing that kind of fellowship, that love, that joy, that peace. And then people around you are saying, oh man, if that's a Christian, I don't know if I want to be one. God wants us to live productive lives. And that means that we need to be walking in the Spirit, obeying him. Okay, the second praise is that they did not deny his name. And I was trying to figure out how to turn this into a positive, because do not deny, what is that? That's like a double negative. And I was thinking, well, how can we change that into a positive statement for us to follow? You know, it's like, don't think about pink elephants. You know, all of a sudden you're thinking about pink elephants, right? We want to think of the positive. What are we going to copy? What are we going to emulate? And so changing that to the positive, we need to speak up about Jesus. Denying Jesus is saying, I don't know him. So what's the positive? It's saying, I do know him. I do want to talk about him. If Jesus is important in your life, it's going to be hard for you to shut up about him. And I've met some Christians who they're like, I just don't know if I can tell anybody that I'm a Christian, especially not that I follow Jesus. I believe he's alive and he talks to me. They're going to think I'm nuts. They probably will. But do you want them to think you're nuts, or God to say, hey, you're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you before the angels? That's worse, and I think his opinion is more important. Folks, we can only get that boldness from the Holy Spirit. It's not because of any of our extrovert or introvert or any kind of vert, okay? As I was thinking about speaking up for Jesus, I just remember the day that I left Geneva, Ohio to come here. I had a talk with our mailman, Bob. And I had been talking with him for the 6 years that I had known him there. And I had met him in other places besides delivering our mail. And I just had a real burden for him. And so he pulled up, he delivered a package to me. And I said, Bob, I said, you seem... You know, he mentioned a few things about church, and I said, you seem kind of religious. I said, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? He said, no, I don't think anybody can know that. And so right there at his truck, in front of my house, I started explaining the gospel to him. And when I got done, it wasn't that long, but I got done, I said, is that what you want to do? He had tears in his eyes, and he said, no one ever explained that to me. Yes! And he prayed to receive Jesus Christ right in front of that truck. And we have another brother in the kingdom. Folks, we need to be proud of Jesus. I know I was talking to somebody about this, and as I was thinking of using that word proud, I said, oh no, proud's a bad word, but you know, it's like, it's not your pride, it's pride of your King. It's being happy to share about him. And I was thinking about this, I thought of a good example here, right in this area in Burnsville. I went to Walmart, which how many people go to Walmart? Okay. Yeah, so I went to Walmart, and I was getting glasses in Burnsville, and the optician was talking about when the glasses would be ready, and I needed them pretty quick. And so I said, well, I'll be in Burnsville on Sunday. And she said, really, what? You live in Waconia, and you'll be in Burnsville on Sunday? I said, yeah. I said, I actually go to church in Apple Valley. And she said, well, where in Apple Valley? I said, Hope Church, right on Cedar. And she said, I know that church. She said, I used to go to that church. As a matter of fact, two of your members kind of helped us and our family as we immigrated in from Ukraine. It was Paul and Gloria Heisman. Folks, when we're out about in the community, we need to be talking about Jesus. We need to be sharing who is the most important in our lives. Or maybe he's not. Maybe we need a heart check that he's not the most important in our life. That we're putting other things. Maybe we're putting a boat. Maybe we're putting vacation. Maybe we're putting all these other things. Our kids and their all the things they do on Sundays. We're putting all that stuff ahead of Jesus. The antidote for denial is to be proud of Jesus. 1 John 2, verse 19 says, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For they, had they belonged to us, they would not have remained, they would have remained with us, but their going out showed that none of them belonged to us. This is for people that are leaving the faith. This is not a verse for people that are switching to another church. Okay, never use this if they're going to another sister church. And I had some friends in one of our churches who are a little legalistic, and they said, yeah, they're going over to that other church. They weren't of us, but now I said, no, that has to do with whether they're a Christian or not. Not if they switched labels and they're still in the Christian faith. Jesus will vindicate you if you speak up for him. And in verse 9, it says, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet. See, the Jewish people there in Philadelphia, they were saying that they were God's people and that the Christians were a heresy. They were a sect, a cult, and they called them heretical Nazarenes. Okay? That was because that's where Jesus was from, in Nazareth. But Jesus, if we are faithful to him, he will be proud of us before the angels. And he says this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. That's going to be a great day when we stand up there and we know all the sins that we've committed in our lives, and Jesus is going to say, it's all right. I paid for his sins. He's with me. And welcome to your new home. That is going to be an amazing day. Jesus loves you. In verse 9, at the last part, it says, and acknowledge that I have loved you. So he's going to actually say it in front of all the angels. Everybody said, whatever your name is, I love you. That is going to be a great day. John chapter 15, verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Remaining in his love means to continue doing the things that have pleased him. You know, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So if you're still doing the works of the devil, watch out. What he wants to do is destroy that. So he wants to destroy it in you. And so he wants, by the Holy Spirit, to bring you back so that you don't end up hardening your heart to where you're not following Jesus. The third praise that we see is that they endured patiently. They trusted in God's word that he would sustain them. And so we need to trust God's timing. God promises protection, especially protection through things. He doesn't usually pull people out of things, but he protects them in the midst of it. Think about the Passover in the Old Testament. We see that just before the people of Israel left Egypt to go into the Promised Land, he told them to put blood on the top of their door and the two sides. And if you put blood at the top of your door, what's it going to do? It's going to drip down. And then if you made a line between the right side and the left side of the door, what would that make? A cross. And so the people, in kind of a type or a symbol, were protected, and this was the blood of a lamb, and it was symbolizing the lamb, Jesus Christ. So he protected everyone that was in that house. But everyone else was, they lost their firstborn son. He killed, the avenging angel killed every firstborn son. So let's look at verse 10 of Revelation chapter 3. It says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. Okay, so they passed the test, so he's not going to give them another test. You get that? That is awesome. The Christians at Philadelphia. Okay, does that mean the Christians in America? Do you think we're the ones that are doing everything right and we're loving and kind and I don't know, okay? I'm speaking of all the churches, not just our church, okay? But this promise doesn't really support what some people claim is the pre-trib rapture, though I wish it were true, because I don't want to suffer. Here it says only the Philadelphians were going to be protected from that hour. Doesn't say pulled out, but protected. And the idea for that pre-tribulation, and I don't want to get into it, but it's just think about this possibility, okay? That whole idea of the pre-trib rapture started in England in about 1830 by Increase and Cotton Mather. And it was made popular in America with the Puritans. I'm so sorry. By John Darby. And it was continued by the Scofield Bible, which the Bible itself was the Holy Bible, but there was notes that were added to it that were not inspired. And so we need to be ready to go through the tribulation, folks. I'm this way about the tribulation. I'm pro-trib. It's going to happen. I believe it. The Bible says it. Some theologians, some Greek scholars think that it's the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation, and I am for that. I hope that's true. In my reading of scriptures, I'm not convinced of that, but I'm rooting for that one. The Christians that are alive today, in the last 100 years, more Christians have died for their faith than the last 2,000 years. They think we're going into tribulation right now. Okay? We've had it easy in America. We haven't really suffered for our faith. I don't know anybody that's been tortured because they're a Christian. But, you know, we might get ridiculed. We might not get the promotion. But those are small compared to what our brothers and sisters experience. Also, I think if we're ready for the going through the tribulation, if we don't have to, it's like, whew. But what if we think the other way? What if they think it's pre-trib and then we have to go through it? It's like, what happened? You didn't take me up. It's better to prepare the other way, right? Isn't that the kind of Minnesota idea too? You know, it's prepare for the worst and then it's everything's good, right? All right, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. The Lord will not give us more than we can handle. And it doesn't mean that you can handle it on your own, because I really hate pain, and I think I would fold if I was tortured. But I know that if I learn to trust Christ now, that when the time comes, I'll be able to cry out to him and say, Lord, I need help. I need strength to get through this. Our job is to hold on. It says in verse 11, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have. Okay, this is the salvation that you have. This is the relationship with Christ that you have. Hold on to it. Don't let anyone persuade you differently. And see that no one will take your crown. This is a faith in action. It's claiming salvation, taking each day one step at a time. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says, be on your guard, and this is the one I want you to hear. Stand firm in the faith. You know, it doesn't say that we need to charge ahead. It's just said we need to stand firm. We need to accept what we have and believe it. God rewards perseverance. In verse 12 it says, the one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will I leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on them my new name. Well, I am going to kind of run fast through the last two things here. First of all, he says that I'll write my name on them. How many of you have seen Toy Story? One, two, or three? I guess there's even a four. Has everyone seen any of them? Okay. For those of you who haven't seen it, these toys became animated and talk and walk and everything. But the cool thing about it is the owner, the little boy, writes his name on the bottom of the toy's foot. And he says, this is mine. Right, his name is Andy, so he writes it in big letters. God is going to write his name on us because we belong to him. And that's what this is about. The pillars is the idea that the pillars were, when they wanted to honor somebody, they would put a pillar up and put their name on it. Well, this is a little bit different. They put the pillar up, it's you and I, those who are victorious, and then God puts his name on us. And the second part is the coins. And they put a new name on the coins when a new king has arrived. First thing he does is make coins with his name on it. He says, okay, we're not using the old garbage, the last king. We're using the new coins. And so God is putting his stamp of ownership on us. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Some of you are mature in age, but not in your spiritual walk. God wants you to be mature that way too. We go through trials, we go through hardships, and that tests us that we are going to keep following, that we are going to keep trusting in the Lord. Well, which command do you need to apply most to your life today? Maybe you already were doing great in these, I don't know. But ask yourself, which one do I need to apply out of these three? And how can you strengthen yourself for heaven by applying that command? You know, I wanted to share with you about Scott Hamilton, a Christian from Toledo, Ohio, where I grew up. And I chose the closing song because I wanted you to, I'd heard the song many times on the radio, and it was encouraged my heart, and I thought it would be great for you all to hear. It is kind of a God thing that Scott Hamilton actually appears in this video. So I want you to listen to it, be encouraged. Remember, you are an overcomer in Christ if you know Jesus. If you don't know him, you can be. And you could start your relationship with him today.